Hi there.
Cheers.
And cheers. Welcome to our podcast all about the 10 ways that giants changed our lives.
The theme of giants.
Mm-hmm.
For so, life theming.
Yeah. So my name's Joshua.
I'm Adam.
And what we do is, with a few other people as well, we theme our lives each month around a different thing, such as Marilyn Monroe or flavours or
architecture. Yeah. Bubble and Squeak.
Or this month, it was giants.
Yeah.
So we've been doing all sorts of things, as you will find out, about giants. And what we do at the end is we have a reflection on the end, last day of the month, about how it actually impacted our lives. Because always, whatever theme is chosen, it does have a legacy, an impact. So we go through our top ways. Five from me, five from you. Who's going to go first? Should we? Is there anything you want to say before we get going with the scissors, paper, stone?
We don't do scissors, paper, stone, do we?
No, you know, but it's easier to say that. Or the Taiwanese version of scissors, paper, stone.
Our Taiwanese version. It's not the official Taiwanese. But let's just do our mole rat, Durian, Dachshund.
Mole rat, not mal rat.
Mal
I think
rat.
There's a film called Mal Rats.
Okay.
I don't know what it's about. Rats in a mal.
No,
an American mal.
No, I can.
But it's a mole rat, a naked mole rat.
Okay, here we go.
So, San.
My Dachshund catches your mole rat. So I'll go first. How giants changed my life in the last month of March 23. Okay, well, good theme. Thank you, Diorgal, who came to visit us in February.
Yeah, and, great theme.
We live in Orkney now just for this few months, and I think giants is a pretty good theme to have in this kind of landscape. So I'm going to start with the landscape. Now, it's quite difficult to know how far to go with this one, because I don't know which ones you're going to say. But I'll just go for it. And I'm going to say how giants can be recognised or can be imagined within the landscapes that you're in. And that could be a city landscape as well as a rural landscape. But here in Orkney, we have stones, standing stones from a Neolithic kind of era. And I had a wonderful, I mean, I've been to the stones a few times, and this particular month, I decided to kind of alchemize their presence and personify them a little bit into giants. Well, actually, they're called the Merry Giants, aren't they? They're called the...
I don't know if they're the Merry Giants, but there is a legend about them.
The Dancing Giants.
Dancing Giants.
No, there is. There's something written in the plaque about how there were giants who danced and they didn't, and the sun rose and they froze into these stones. So it was quite applicable.
They're having so much fun dancing that they forgot to watch for the sun. It never explains why the sun turned the giants into stone.
Well, obviously, like Cinderella, they should have been back in their hole.
Maybe.
I don't know. But anyway, we have these stones. There's about 20, 25 stones, but I chose half of them, and then I named them, and then I kind of represented them in different things in my life, which I was focusing on in March that particular week. So it kind of was fun. And also, I saw giants in rock faces. So we went for a walk, saw this wonderful old kind of Egyptian-looking old pharaoh face, which reminded us of a poem called Ozymandias about a statue of a king who's died, a statue that had broken apart.
Wow.
So, but this wonderful giant of a king, you know, and this rock face reminded us of that poem.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you see a face in the clouds and you're like, oh, it looks just like this. But the more we were looking at this, it was like an arch, wasn't it? A natural arch. But the way it stuck out, it really, every angle of it looked like a pharaoh's head.
Yeah, it was really good. And then my last one about landscape is the island of Hoi opposite us. And there's a lovely kind of rock face that we get a really wonderful view of every day from our window. And it's a lovely line. And at the end, it's called, is it the Cane or Came?
Came, K-A-M-E, the Came of Hoi.
K-A-M-E. I thought it's C-A-I-N, the Cane.
No, that's a cairn. That's the thing that's on top there. People put rocks on. That's a cairn.
No, that's C-A-I. R-N. I thought it was C-A-I-N, Cain, like Cain and Abel.
No, I thought you were getting them mixed up. It's not Cain and Abel. It's nothing to do with C-A-I-N.
It's Cain. Okay. So the Cain of Hoy has a lovely line etching, kind of, and Josh and I both saw a giant face in it, but we saw two different giant faces that emerged into one. That was quite good.
Yeah, it was like one of those optical illusions brought to life where someone says, what's this, a duck or a woman's head? And
both.
And we were like, oh, no, no, you're seeing the face in the wrong place. You're seeing the face in the wrong place. But then when you showed me yours, I was like, oh, my goodness, yes, it does look like that as well. Yeah. So it had two faces hidden.
So that's how giants have kind of changed my life in terms of the landscape around me and seeing giants, legendary or just in rocks, or it would be in buildings if I was in a more urban setting. Over to you, Joshua, number two.
Yeah, it's very likely that we're going to have some overlaps. So I'm going to have to keep being a bit creative about what I might put in, because I definitely had that as well. But that's fine. So I'm going to say playing around with perspective. So basically, the thing that has changed my life this month is seeing the world from a giant's perspective. So this, on one level, and I've done this before this month as well, but is, you know, walking across a field and you see little thing, like little trees, but they're very small, like almost like bushes. But you just imagine that you're a huge giant walking over this field and they're like proper normal sized trees. So it gives you this sense of kind of confidence, or walking over little ripples on a beach and you imagine that they're massive Saharan sand dunes. So it's that kind of playing around with the perspective that I heard this month that Tolstoy used to do in his writing. He called it making strange, where you try and see the world from a totally different perspective. Mm. But I actually found this really amazingly helpful this month. So for example, having a cold shower, I go, ah, and I don't like it, but I know it's meant to be really good for you. Cold water, invigorating your endorphins and all of that. So what I imagined was, I'm a giant, I'm in this shower, and this cold water bashing off me, it's just like a gnat, like a little. It's as important as a little gnat or a little fly buzzing around me. This cold water is not bothering me, and it really worked. And I managed to stay in sometimes for about 30 seconds, but then I got a cold and decided not to do that for a while. But
yeah, because it is like March, it's not July, so I take my hat off to you.
Great, I'm so glad you're taking your hat off to
me. Take my hat off.
But also with, you know, if you're on a Zoom call in a work meeting or something and you're like, oh, this person's, you know, for whatever reason, getting my goat or bashing my oyster, or, you know, all these phrases. Ooh, that
I've never heard that one before. That sounds quite pleasurable.
No, I didn't mean that, but there was these different phrases. Getting your goat, that's the best one.
Get your goat or bash your oyster.
But I was just imagining myself, I am a giant in this situation. I've got nothing, you know, it's not that I'm superior, but I'm just not, I'm so confident. I'm so full of power and self-worth and stuff, and I'm listening to them, but I'm not going to let their little drama bother me. So a giant's perspective, that's what I'm going to say, is something I'm going to take away as a legacy. So yeah, I really appreciated that. Wow.
We have landscape, we have perspective. You go for number three.
Well, I'm going to go for a very specific thing, because I love it and it's impacted our lives in a few different ways this month, is BFG, the BFG. Mm. Are you going to say that?
No.
So I loved the book when I was a kid, and it's been made into a couple of films. The animation, we could watch that later, actually, because we didn't watch the other one's kind of animated as well. Mark Rylance is kind of animated, but it's a bit more live action. Anyway, we watched one of the films this month. Great book, very funny. The Queen of England doing a great big fart, and you've got the snozcumbers, and you've got the lots of good things about it. But there was this thing, the way Mark Rylance, the actor of the BFG in the remake, the way he said, oh no, it's not, it's the trailer for the other one. Anyway, he says, I'm the big friendly giant. And I really liked that, the way he emphasised friendly. And then I've been thinking about that this month. Huh. You know, I was talking about like being in the Zoom meeting and thinking, well, I'm a giant, so I'm going to like not let the vibration of the other person ruin my vibration. But it's not that, like I said, I'm superior. It's that I am powerful, but I'm also friendly. I can interact with the world as if I'm powerful, but as if I'm a good, friendly force as well. And it reminds me of when we pick up our little guinea pig, because we've got a guinea pig called Moogie.
As you know, I'm sure.
And she's in a pillowcase at the moment.
Yeah, she's not actually sitting with us for this one because she's in a bit of a mood, actually. I think, I don't know, it's her time of the day, at least, not the moment. and I can just, I'm an empath, so I can pick up on when, you know, she's not quite wanting to sit with us and when she is. Well, I'm definitely an empath with her.
Yeah, or she just bites you and then, no, doesn't not necessarily about the emotions. But where was I? I've lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, so I pick Moogie up and she must be terrified. We must be the equivalent of a gorg to a doozer, if you know the Fraggle universe. But so we're these great big giants saying, hello, Moogie, hello, come and cuddle us. But to her, it's like a nasty, scary giant. Mm. But I try and remember, I'm not there to hurt her. Well, of course I'm not. But I try to give her that impression as well. I'm a friendly giant. So the BFG, very good book by Roald Dahl, and it's impacted me this month. That's my three. What's the four?
Nice synchronicity also that we're in your mum's house in Orkney, and there's books here, but it's not that many DVDs. They don't really have many DVDs here. One of a handful is the BFG.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is good. Yeah, we must look at that later.
Yeah.
Also, it's the cartoon one, which we haven't watched this month.
Yeah.
But also, I forgot to say, we made snozcumbers. And it's basically you hollow out a cucumber and shove it with something disgusting looking. But it could be tasty, nice. Like coleslaw or, or you know, what coronation you chicken or something.
What's disgusting?
Tuna mayonnaise.
No.
I don't know. It just has to look disgusting. But it was really nice. It was a nice way on a carb-free day to eat, you know, like shove something inside a vessel.
This is your carb-free day, not mine. I don't do carb-free.
But
day is a carb day for me.
It's like a pita bread, but instead of a pita bread, it's a tube of cucumber skin.
Yeah.
Anyway, I quite liked the snozcumber. So there we go.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so I'll go back for number four after your BFG, and I'm going to say we have had fun across the month, really, deciding who are our giants. And I think you've done it individually as well. But it's just kind of thinking about those in the limelight, whether it be film or music, people that we've met. And it can be also the themes, which is our giant theme. And it's kind of which is the one that stands tall and proud. We love to celebrate things, and everything's important, of course, but we do like to mark when something is extra special. So we had fun just kind of compiling lists and looking through kind of different actresses and musicians and bands and narrowing it all down. By the time last night we thought, well, let's do it the eve of the end of the month, and let's do our contests and finish it. And we ended up with different rounds of looking at films and music and all that, but we actually just had a discussion where it got down to just two, and I really enjoyed and how that changed my life. It's made them more significant.
Well, yeah,
that they were anyway, but now I feel like a more affinity. And we're going to listen to some more songs, maybe an album from each of the musicians and from with the film stars, we'll watch a film or two that we didn't know. And you're probably wondering who these might be. And Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, amazing.
Is our actress. Beat off Sigourney Weaver and Susan Sarandon. And
Catherine O'Hara beating off Sigourney Weaver.
Beat her off. That's a good image. And we had David Bowie, which...
So he's won, yeah.
Male musician, which isn't a surprise because we had a theme on him. Recently, Dolly Parton, who was a past theme as a female.
Yeah, she beat off Grace Jones,
who was another theme we've had. And then our male film star was Gene Wilder, actually, which was beating off Bill Murray.
Yeah.
If you can imagine that. And they're both did so well. But Gene Wilder consistently across many different films, we thought he's our giant.
Pink Martini is the band. They whooped Muse's ass.
They didn't beat them off, they whooped them, And our theme, interestingly, of the last 120 themes or however many we've had over the last 10 years, we've been doing this, actually we're coming up to the 10-year anniversary next month, in May, was architecture. And that was in 2015, so it's a good few years ago, but architecture was a great theme for us. Slovenia is the country of Eurovision, and then a woman called Mandy, who we met in Hong Kong, and then a goose, the spirit of Robin Gibb. This goose is the most profound giant of a of male kind in our lives, isn't he?
Well, it's just a bit it's a bit misleading. I'd say he was the funniest, like, random character that we've met.
I thought he was
the giant. He wasn't the most profound person we've ever met.
Not personally, but the most profound goose.
Yeah. Yeah, but he did beat all the other males of humankind.
He did. That's quite something for a goose.
He did look like Robin Gibb.
He looked like Robin Gibb. I think he was the spirit of Robin Gibb. I think, yeah, uncanny. If we could show you a photo, you'd be like, wow.
Well, we can. Just get in touch by email or WhatsApp and we'll send you a photo.
We'll send you a photo of the Robin Gibb goose. Anyway, how did it change my life? I've got a real connection to these 10 things moving on from this month. So they are our giants. Okay, that's now on to my number five. And I'll go over something slightly more similar for me personally. And that's my own giants in terms of my writing. And I call them my biggies. But they are really my giant projects. And these are things that... Nice.
Yeah, keep sipping your skull splitter.
8%. Yeah, God, it's strong. These are projects that I've done over the years, and I think there's about three or four of them. And I'm now, having done The Artist's Way with a group of us recently, I'm going to start shining my focus upon these things. And these are my giants. These are my biggies. So,
what are your biggies?
So the three that come to mind immediately are my, what I call vivas. They're vignettes around Brighton. And I think, I don't know where... if it just stays in Brighton or not, but I've got probably over 100 vignettes of just standing in a spot or being somewhere and then writing a little story about people I see, each of them 500 words long, so they're very short. So that's one of them. My second one is Glorious, which is about food and poetry about food and how I just have lots of wordplay and fun with different foods. And my third one is doesn't have a name, but it's about an... it could be a novel or it could be something much grander in me. And it's just an idea around playing with the capital cities of the world. And I'm really in... that's the first one I'm...
Grander than a novel? What could that be?
No, grander than other things I've done. If it was on a bigger scale. So these are things I'm going to... these are my giants, my biggies, that I'm going to creatively put a bit more attention on this year.
I love that phrase, biggies. I love the way... yeah, because it's things that will sort of be deeply exciting, like a big adventures to explore them and see how they unfold.
Exactly. So that is my number six. I think that's number six.
Great. Well, we're just slightly over halfway.
Is that right? Who started it? Number five and six?
Well, I've still got three to do.
Yeah, but who started this?
I did. You started it.
One, two, three. That must be my number five.
Yeah, that was your five. So now I'm on six.
You're on number six.
I'll do seven. Then you do eight and nine. Then I do ten.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
But I'm a bit worried because you've already taken two of mine.
Oh, no.
So I was going to mention what we're drinking, but I might leave that till the very end. I need to borrow something. But I'm going to go with They Might Be Giants as the band. A lot of people know Birdhouse in Your Soul, which is a... crazily brilliant, surreal song. Apparently, the only song that we know of that's from the that's written from the narrative viewpoint of a blue canary-shaped nightlight, and it's very good.
A bird or a lion?
A light, like a nightlight shaped like a bird.
Wow.
And it's very catchy, lots of hooks, so we knew we'd like that, but we didn't get that song. Instead, we got a song this month called They Might Be Giants by They Might Be Giants. Yeah. It was all right. We'll see later because we're going to reveal to each other, not on this podcast, songs, to each other our favourite songs. But I was also keen to look up other songs, and I found one I really love called "I Had a Dream Last Night," which is, again, surreal. It's about that feeling of trying to remember this amazing dream that you've had, but you just can't quite remember it. Mm. And I think they're a really good band. Musically interesting in terms of it being catchy, but also having fun and being creative and pushing boundaries in their own way. So, yeah, they might be Giants. That's a legacy, and it's a band that I'm going to pay more attention to.
Great.
So that's my six. Seven, I'm going to steal one from you because you might have been about to say this.
Uh-oh.
So we discovered on this island called Shepensee, we went into this shop and we just happened to find... Were you going to say this?
No, I forgot.
Oh, we just happened to find this box of bars, and they were called Giant Bars. Oh, and we were like, oh my goodness, Giant Bars? And we've never seen these before, and they had all different flavours.
Tell them how many you bought in one go.
Five.
No. That's seven. Not true. Nine.
Seven. Nine.
Nine. I counted. Nine bars. Nine bars. I had seven or six, I think.
Kate had three.
I think Kate had three. Yeah. We were just stocking up on all these big flapjack bars.
I think the woman in the shop, who'd never seen any visitors there.
She made great profit from winter, us. Yeah.
I think that she was probably very confused as to why we wandered in, looking like we didn't want to buy anything, and then suddenly bought 19 or whatever giant bars. But there was one that was cherry and yogurt flavour.
Oh, I thought it was banana and yogurt.
No, that's what I had today, but it was a cherry and yogurt one I had that I preferred.
She probably, because we went for a walk around the island, she probably thought we were just stocking up for the walk. You know.
What? No. Mm. Not that many bars for one walk. But I've been enjoying
them.
Depends
on how long the walk.
And you know what? I must say, they're probably full of preservatives. I tried not to pay too much attention. I thought, oh, it's called Giant. I'm not going to worry too much.
Oh, come on. Just let go of
that. I'm trying not to eat things with more than five ingredients in the label.
Well, you're eating crisps at the moment. I bet you these have got more than five.
Mm. So, but I think the why is it a legacy? It's just a memory, really. The deliciousness of it, the randomness of that funny moment. I'm going to put these Giant bars in as one of the things that changed my life positively about Giants. Nice. Over to you, Adam.
It'd be lovely when we see them again. Well, we may never see them again, actually. Just on that one shop.
In Shepensee.
On a random island of Orkney. It really is a random island. Because there's nothing there, really.
That's nice. No, it is. We found all sorts of things. We had this conversation. People say there's nothing there, don't go there, but we loved it.
Something and nothing. When I say there's nothing there, I need to manage the expectations of people listening to this, because they might think, oh, I'll go to the island. And it's like, there's no...
But we had this conversation. There is... You can't say there's nothing there.
No.
There's magic in the mundane everywhere.
I know, but when I say there's nothing there, it means that there's nowhere to sit down and have a coffee.
Well, we did. There's no... sat down and had a coffee with seals at our feet.
Well, we managed to get the crank up the coffee machine in the shop. And then, yeah, we did have a little coffee and we sat outside. But, there's lots there in terms of countryside and in terms of views and birds, of course, lots of birds. And there's lots of water around it.
Whooper swan.
There's a castle, actually, but you can't go into it.
A douche.
Well, I think you might have to explain. It's not a shower, is it?
Well, it used to be a shower. A seawater shower.
For?
People. But then they put a birdhouse on top. Oh, a birdhouse for your soul.
Oh.
That's weird.
A birdhouse for your douche.
But they called it a douche because it must have been a posh French one.
For the castle?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I think that's everything I can say about the Giant bars. Mm. So I think they came to you now.
The reason why you got nine and I got seven and is actually there were about 15 different flavours as well.
Oh yeah.
Like it wasn't like the same giant bar.
I wouldn't have got 15 of the same.
There were like apricot or mango or apple or fruit and nut or chocolate orange. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm on to number eight, I think, is that right?
Yep.
And I'm gonna say let's say, I'm going to bring this all into one somehow. And I'm going to go green giant.
Ooh.
How the green giant changed my life in two ways. Green giant, ho, ho, ho. Green giant is sweet corn here in Britain. And I'm not a big fan of sweet corn. However, our friend, we got it, obviously, because it is giant. And we got sweet corn. And our friend came, Kate, I will acknowledge her. and made...
Acknowledge, celebrate.
and made us sweet corn fritters, which are delicious. Now, I've had them before, but it was just like tying in with the green giant. We've made some tonight. We're going to eat after this.
Oh, yeah. They're
delicious.
Nice.
So, but I'm bridging this across. Are you going to mention the cocktails or not?
No.
Ah, well, I can do that. Because Green Giant was also a name of a cocktail that we had. Well, two cocktails. But I love the name of one of them. The Green Gin Giant that put a garden in my glass. I absolutely love the name of this cocktail. Hmm. I think it's probably one of my favourite ever names of a cocktail. Just the idea of a giant putting a little garden in your glass. And it was lots of... what was in it? Basil or mint? No, it was like...
Yeah, it was loads of basil and mint, yeah. And cucumber.
It was cucumber, and it was just like... It was like a sangria, so it was full of things. It was very green, and the cocktail wasn't bad. It was good, it was fair, but in terms of name and how it looked, I thought, I love that. It's quite poetic. So the Green Giant has changed my month and changed my life because I will eat more sweet corn, which I wouldn't do before. In a fritter, and it's inspired me for names of cocktails. I love that.
Very good. I'm really stuck now for my last one.
Well, I've got my number nine first.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I was eager to hear. I just got so excited, I forgot.
Well, my last one, and perspective was a really good point. That was what I was going to do. But I'm going to go for the giant sky. And that sounds a bit vague, I know. But I think this works for anybody, anywhere. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, the further north you go, obviously the sky changes. And we're very fortunate. That's why we've been here in the winter, is to experience the night sky and what's called locally the Merry Dancers or the Northern Lights.
Oh, my goodness.
Which are giants in themselves. The sky is giant, but the Merry Dancers are giant dancers that the locals call them. And last Thursday, we managed to... catch a very good display of the Northern Lights. A very, very good display.
Oh, yeah, I know.
One of the best that Orkney people say that they've seen. So we were very fortunate, and we were out in the middle of the countryside and stayed with it for a while. Got some photos and...
Flat on our backs
on a picnic bench and watched the sky shifting, and it was like a dome, and it was very giant, so it was very good for the month, but it was also very beautiful. And I want to end my last one, how it's changed my life. Well, the sky, and I do think that the sky is quite magical anyway, no matter where you are. You don't have to be in Orkney, you can be anywhere to appreciate the giant sky and how it shifts and changes. We've been very lucky, very fortunate with that here, but I'm sure the giant sky is doing great things all around the world. So that's my...
Apart from at the equator. Because there's no Northern Lights at the equator.
There's no Northern Lights in many places, but it's not all about Northern Lights. It's about the giant sky.
Oh, that's true. Right, well, the 10th thing, I'm going to be relatively quick.
Yeah.
But it could be to do with this. But you said about places like Ozymandias, the beach and the stones. But I'm also... What did you call that?
Landscape.
But I'm going to say legends. Myths and legends. So many legends and fairy tales and stories about giants, and they do capture the imagination, you know, the giant with the golden fleece and the giant with the golden beanstalk and all these things, and the giant jumping beans that whatever. But anyway, so I think I'm getting slightly more merry as I'm going through this.
Slurry.
Because we're now drinking a drink called Skull Splitter, which is an Orkney beer, which is quite strong, I think, at 8.5%, and it's named after Thorfinn the Mighty, who was a huge, so I guess you could say giant, skull splitting earl of the Viking era. But it's not just him. There's Cubby Roo, who's got all sorts of places in Orkney, but it's more about the story. I do like the Jack and the Beanstalk story and that giant in that. And there's another giant I remember in a Greek myth. I can't remember. Someone has to stick a Cyclops, maybe, and someone has to stick a big burning stick in its eye.
Oh, that's awful, isn't it? Isn't that horrible?
I think it's metaphorical, though. So,
is it but his it's... third eye?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they suck it in his third eye, I guess.
Or is it?
Yeah, so I think let's keep moving. And let's just say that the legends of giants capture the imagination. And in fact, some people, conspiracy alert, some people think that actually there was a race of giants that has been hidden from us. And there's clues about it. But let's not get into that. But I think we're done. Bye. Oh, no.
Hang on a second. That was very abrupt.
So, 10 things are done.
10 things about giants. So, we hope you've enjoyed this production.
By the way, production. By the way, Adam, do you like the skull splitter? We haven't really talked about it.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, to be honest with you, when I get a very, very strong beer or drink, it sometimes the alcohol just takes over and it's like...
Tastes a bit like it tastes a bit.
I have to sip it, and it is a bit syrupy, so it's not like the most pleasurable drinking experience. But it's not horrible. I mean, I've had some alcoholic things and they taste bitter or they taste really just horrible. Yeah, and
yeah,
that doesn't. But it is a bit syrupy, so I'm just having little sips. It's fine. We hope you've had a great month. And hope you enjoyed this. We are moving into April now. Hopefully the spring is going to come. We're still waiting for it, but it will come.
Yeah, it's here. The daffodils
this
are
month,
here.
And we're actually doing. We've got a theme that's been thank you, Diogo, for giants. By the way, I've said that before, but we really appreciate
well
that.
Done.
And now we've got a theme that's been actually nominated a few times over the last few months or couple of years, and it's so it kind of deservedly rightfully needs to have its month.
Well, it was going to at some point, and then and then once we've done it, we never have to do it again.
Well, and I think we're gonna get a lot out of it actually, because sometimes we do a theme and we're like, what the hell? And like, we've had Morse code and we've had dolls I never understood, but we've had some themes where they have been a bit like, oh god, how are we gonna do a whole month around that? A bit random. But actually, you can do a month around anything. And,
oh, yeah,
and
totally.
This month is going to be testament to that. So thank you, Kate, for our next theme, which is yonic.
Yonic, which is the adjective coming from the word yoni, which is like, we need to find out this next month, but it's something to do with like a spiritual force related to femininity, let's say that.
Feminine power. And it's represented in a certain shape and a certain part of the female body as well.
Yeah, bit like the female version of phallic.
Yeah. And if you know what phallic is, then yonic is kind of what complements that.
So we're going to be eating lots of foods that are that shape. We're going to be going to places that are that shape. We're going to be listening to songs about that
We're not really sure how
it's going to work.
Well, I know that I think it's kind of abstract. It's a little bit more representational. There's some art. And the shape in itself is quite well known. It's quite common.
If you know, think about 7 billion people on the planet, it's quite common.
Well, that's true.
But the only thing we need to think about is we've got some friends visiting with children, and we're really looking forward to that. But all the children are quite avid life themers, so they're going to be wondering what the theme is, and it's going to be we'll have to find a way to explain it without being. Because they're quite young.
Yeah, without it seeming a bit embarrassing or quite, just keeping within a boundary which everyone feels comfortable within.
Yeah. So we'll tell you all about it next month.
You can tell that we're kind of skirting around it a little bit. But the thing is, that it's just a part of the body, and it's just it's quite a spiritual thing, and it's, you know, it's a part of the world. It's a theme. It's rightfully a theme, and we are going to spend a month exploring it.
Yes, and it's, exploring vagina shape, basically.
Yeah.
So, can't wait. And so we, but thank you very much for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoy your Yonic April. And we look forward to catching up with you another time soon.
Catch up at the end of April. We will let you know the 10 things how Yonic, that anything Yoni or Yonic changed our life.
Look forward to it. Bye.
See you then. Bye.
Life is